So just would like to say welcome. We just started the recording, and this is How to Stay Out of Ethical Hot Water Conversation, and it's about sharing results ethically as a coach. So we're going to go ahead and jump in today. The recording is on, so I'd like to just let everybody know we are recording for those who cannot be here around the globe, and feel free to, you know, share in any way you like, but know that this recording is going out. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Tina Elliott, and I'm a PCC and BCC credential coach, and also a longtime, I'll say now, past member of the ICF Ethics and Standards Committee and the Independent Review Board, which is the Ethics Complaint Board. And I did that for about 13 years, but I've recently resigned. So I'm also a mentor coach, executive coach, and then also faculty for Institute for Life Coach Training, which is why I'm here today. I imagine we have some other members and individuals associated with Institute for Life Coach Training. But the reason I do these calls is because I'm really passionate about ethics and about coaches understanding ethical behavior and operating in a way that's in alignment with themselves, but also being ethical out there. And sometimes it's just a matter of not knowing. And I can share that for sure working on the ICF Ethics Board. It's not that coaches typically tend to want to be unethical or that type of thing, on rare occasion. But overall, it's just a lack of knowing. So that's why we're having these conversations. So I, again, want to welcome everyone. Hope that there's some enlightenment and we have some discussion today. I see the line's pretty quiet, which is fantastic, but I will ask that if you start to have noise in the background or noise on your line, if you could actually do a star 6 to mute yourself, and then, of course, you can star 6 to unmute yourself. It is my intention to keep the line open because I'd like to see this as a discussion today because I think there's some points we're going to cover and I'd love to hear, you know, your thinking about it. We're going to be looking at a couple of things today. Excuse me, too. I have a virus, so I will be clearing my throat on occasion, so bear with me on that. We really are going to be looking at this topic. So how do coaches share results, coaching results, ethically? I have to say there's been some real interesting things that I've seen out on the Internet and also in coaches' blogs and things to that effect. And what's really fascinating is, there's a workshop that I do quarterly for ethics and staying out of ethical hot water. And what I find is many of the attendees and the coaches that attend this course, they leave and they come back and they're like, oh, my gosh, look at what this coach is doing. And they're sending links to blogs and links to their websites and things. And it's just some real fascinating things that we're noticing coaches doing out there and with how they're talking about results and really promising results. So I think we want to talk about how do we do that today and what does that look like. And I thought, you know, one of the best ways to do that today is, of course, we're going to talk about the ethics code and where this is implied, I'd like to say, in the ethics code. And then also what I did a little while back, and I'm going to share some of these comments with you because I thought it was pretty fascinating, is I actually posed a question on this in a LinkedIn group. And there were some real fascinating comments back on people's thinking. And again, this was just some, I'll say, personal research on my part. But at the end of the call, I think what I'd like to do is kind of share the outcome, like who was saying what and what was kind of the outcome. And again, this is just my own personal research. It's nothing, you know, that I could report as research, just my own investigation. But we're going to look at some of these comments that were made by some of these individuals. And I think I'd like to pose that out to you and see what you all think about, you know, is this coach, you know, stating things that are ethical? Is this coach being ethical or not in the way that they're talking about promising results? So first thing I want to bring up is I want to bring up the Code of Ethics. This is the ICF Code of Ethics, and it's under Section 3, Professional Conduct with Clients. And it says, as a coach, I ethically speak what I know to be true to clients, prospective clients, or sponsors about the potential value of the coaching process or of me as a coach. So I'm going to be honest. We looked at this piece of code in the last review, which is in 2014-2015. ICF reviews their code approximately every few years. And this code, we go through piece by piece of the code and look at it for clarity. We look at it to see how it stands. We look at it if there's any updates needing to be done based on complaints that have been processed through the ICF against coaches. We look at all of that. And as part of that team, we kind of sit down and look at every piece of code, and we looked at this. And I know there were some of us on that review team that thought that there should be a little more specifics in this code so it's a little more clear and not quite as nebulous. Then there were others that said, well, we think this is pretty clear and it covers the bases. So it was left as is. So I'm letting you know about that because sometimes when we look at this, this is actually a lot bigger than what we're talking about today. We're just taking a piece, which is promising results. But this is actually, this piece of code is much bigger when you think about it. What I know to be true to clients, prospective clients or sponsors about the potential value of the coaching process or of me as a coach. And I know we'd all like to think we're coaches, you know, we do our own personal development and, you know, we're all highly ethical. And, of course, you know, we all work towards that. We strive towards that. But sometimes coaches are not clear on what the code means or not clear on how they should be operating as a coach. Here's a fascinating little fact I want to share with all of you. Is I was actually being interviewed once by an executive coaching firm. And in that interview process, I shared with them that, you know, I'm an ethics specialist in the coaching arena. And the owner of that company says, oh, my gosh. He says, I can't tell you how much ethical, unethical behavior goes on out there. And I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, tell me about that. He said, well, of course, we not only interview coaches, we actually do. We check background. We check their training. We check their credentials. And he goes, I can tell you, out of the 1,500 coaches that I have interviewed, he said, in the last 2 years, he said almost 1,000 of those lied about something, lied about their training, lied about their credentials, lied about their background, lied about their education. I was floored. I said, you're kidding. And he said, no. And I said, you know, that's really unethical. And he said, yeah. So anyway, I just share that because I was pretty blown away. It was eye-opening to me to know that. And sometimes I think it's not, you know, again, what we notice in the processing of complaints, it's not the coaches that intentionally do this, maybe stretching the truth a little bit or not thinking clearly. That's typically what happens. So anyway, just wanted to share that as part of, also this code covers that part. So speaking about yourself and your credentials and your background and, you know, all of that is important as well. But we're going to be looking at this, this other aspect today, which is actually this part about knowing what is true and for prospective clients and sponsors about the potential value. So I would like to jump in today and just start sharing a little bit about some of these comments that were made. So I'm going to share the question that I posed in the LinkedIn group, and then I'm going to share some of the comments by some of the individuals responding. And I'd like to say coaches, you know, because this is in the coaching forum. And I say coaches, and I say, quote, coaches, because some of us, you know, there's a vast variety of coaches out there. As you all know, we are basically an unregulated industry at this point, so it means anyone can hang a shingle out and be a coach. So there are coaches, quote, who are trained coaches, credentialed coaches, not trained coaches, self-trained, and all of that. So it's going to be interesting. I'm going to actually share the results of what came out of this particular, research that I did, unofficial research at the end of our call today. But anyway, I'd like to jump in and share this one and get your thoughts on it. So I posed the question, is it ethical in the coaching profession to promise results, whether it's on your website, a blog, email, or via complimentary call? And the first comment I got in a matter of seconds was this one. So he says, why else would someone buy your product if it doesn't deliver on a promise? He says, I work in two camps, psychology and executive coaching. In both cases, I promise results, but this is predicated on the client being willing to change. And also, I indicate that change is a continuum. I won't set a limit on what, quote, we can achieve. The, quote, we part establishes a sense of partnership. The promise of moving the needle moving the needle creates hope and expectancy. Hope is a critical variable in psychotherapy, and I think it holds true for coaching as well. So what do you think? Is his thinking ethical about promising? That promising is aligned with hope, and hope holds true for coaching? Go ahead.
This is Diane. I don't like the word promise.
That's, I hear you.
That's what I'm struggling with.
Yeah.
If you use a different word, like I have seen some clients make significant change. And clarify what he means by promise. I don't like the word promise. I think he's on a slippery slope with that word.
Thanks, Diane. Anybody else have some thoughts on this?
This is Lynn. And, you know, I've been asked that question, you know, really directly in terms of, well, you know, how do I know if I work with you that I'm going to get the results that I want?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
you know, what are you going to do for me? That type of thing. And what I tend to do is I just turn it back around and I'll say to them, you know, let me just talk to you a little bit about what the coaching process is. It is a partnership. However, 95% of it is what you make out of it. And what you bring to the table and, you know, your energy, your commitment. The 5% is really, you know, the coach interacting with you. But I said, what I don't want to do is minimize that 5% because a 5%, if you have an excellent coach, can help you get that much more out of the 95% that you're putting in. And an ineffective coach is basically not going to move that dial as much. And that's how I like to explain it.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that, Lynn. I appreciate that. So anybody else have a thought about this particular comment? Okay. Well, like I said, this was in a LinkedIn conversation, and so, of course, I'm responding to this individual and, of course, thanking everyone for their input. So I said, in response to this, instead of promising results, is there any way to showcase your expertise and accomplishments with clients without promising? And then one coach had come in. Of course, she was already responding to the original question. She said, simply put, absolutely not. You cannot promise any particular result. Read coaching and ethics in capitals. Sections of any coaching agreement, as is specified by the ICF, making promises is asking for trouble in my book. What do you think about that comment?
I think she's right on.
Okay. Here's another one.
This is Paula, and I agree.
Okay. Here's another one. There's some pretty strong comments. I mean, this actually became a little fiery, and you'll see some of these comments going back and forth. Here's one from a coach. I never promise results. I establish that any results are up to the client. What we can promise and deliver is experience, tools, testimonials as appropriate. I cannot deliver on the promise of another person's behavior and motivation. I can tell them what I bring to the party, and it's up to them. What do you think about that?
Well, this is Paula, and I like the testimonials piece. That's something that we've used in my organization effectively.
Good point. And that's where we're headed today, too, is talking about how to do that ethically. Absolutely, testimonials. Sometimes when another way is when we're working on databases, you know, if you're actually communicating with individuals, investigating or looking into coaching on a database, it can be helpful to gather some results from your clients, and you can report them as some results that my past clients have achieved. You know, that's another way to speak about it. You know, obviously it has to be true. As long as it's true, it aligns with the ICF. So, you know, those are ways. Those are some other ways. That's a really good point, Paula. So I think the point I want to make here is there's some comments here that are super, super strong. And what I noticed here in some of them is, like I said, very strong statements on both sides. So overall, here's one. Simply state that you have helped many achieve their goals and that you will work with them to do the same and that they must be committed throughout the whole process. I've never had one client ask for a guarantee or a promise of what the end result will be. What do you think about that statement?
Well, this is Paula, and I would say that if for people that have never had that request, I wonder that perhaps they're not working in an organization that is asking for track results and measures, et cetera, around your coaching program.
You know, Paula, that's a really good comment that you make, because let's be honest, there are some coaches that have never had that request, and then there's a lot, depending on the area that you work in, you know, they want to know, you know, what kind of results you've achieved with others, or, you know, what's been your pattern, or, you know, they want to know that. And we're actually going to get into a couple of comments around that. I'm going to say some fiery comments on that. Okay? Great point. Anybody else have a comment on that? Here's an interesting one. It says, a great coach can promise things of themselves rather than the outcome. Maybe to give 100% attention, to help someone think better, allow time to reflect with great challenge and support, and without judgment, even if they can't promise the perfect outcome. Anyone who has worked in an executive performance coach will find that the client decides that they want to leave the organization knows that we can't promise performance improvements to an organization always. What do you think about that? True, huh? Can't promise that.
I like that the coach, this is Diane, I like that the coach is saying, being clear about what they bring to the table. But not promising results.
Here's one. I think that a promise that's backed up by a money-back guarantee might carry some weight. Not that I would promise an outcome for the client that the client hasn't stated or committed to. I make clear to clients that what happens in the session is much less important than what happens out there in their world where the problem thrives. What do you think about that? Money-back guarantees, promises, backed by, you can make a promise if it's backed by a money-back guarantee. What do you think about that?
I would vote no.
Well,
and that being said, about the promise piece, but if people aren't happy with my services, I will gladly give them their money back, because that's, I think, is ethical and professional. But if they are, but not because of what I promised, but because I think it's a good way to avoid problems.
Okay, that's one certain way to do it. I think the important part of that, if you have a guarantee, is to be clear, to be crystal clear on how it works, right?
It wouldn't be a guarantee, but if they were unhappy, here's your money back.
Okay, so let me talk about that for a second. That's a great point. We have seen numerous times, that's one of the first things in the IRB, so the Independent Review Board at ICF, is when individuals are unhappy with the coach, one of the first things they do is they're requesting a result. They request a refund. And so if you're coaching with someone 6 to 8 months, should the coach refund all that? What do you think?
I think this is Lynn. I think it depends on how the coach sets up the engagement.
You're right.
And, you know, one of the things that I encourage is periodic reviews, check-ins of where we're at, making sure that we're on track so that I can monitor that. And if there is something that's going amiss, you know, I would look at refunding if they paid in advance, you know, and stopping at a specific place. But if somebody went 8 months with me and then came back and said, I want my money back, that's not in the agreements that I have.
Right. Good point, Lynn. So it's about being crystal clear about, if you do have a refund policy, the time frame of that. Like, not happy in the first 2 days, not happy in the first month, whatever it may be. If you're not happy with anything in this time frame, then I will refund your money. Right. So it's important to be crystal clear. You got it. Here's another one. Then we're going to get into one of the fiery comments. But here's another one from a coach, also an attorney, by the way. She says, you cannot control the results because it's up to the client to do the work and achieve the desired outcomes. Lawyers and doctors refrain from promising results, and in my view, coaches are wise to do the same. That's a pretty strong statement, huh?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So here's one of the fiery comments. I'd like to share this one with you. So this individual then says, and he says, if I say that the results are ultimately the responsibility of the client and I cannot promise that I can do anything to deliver these results, then how can I turn around and use such a client as a reference or one I helped? Either I helped and there is some explicit or implicit promise of helping them reach their goal, or I did nothing and cannot then take any credit for the change. You can't have it both ways. What do you think about that?
This is Lynn. I don't think he set up the engagement properly in the beginning.
You think? Okay. This is fascinating. You know, there was, again, very strong comments from some individuals, including this individual was on every night making some comments about things. And, you know, it really led me to believe and start to really look at who is commenting and, you know, who are they and, you know, what is their background and what is their training and where they're coming from. I thought it was pretty fascinating. You know, then I made a comment again about, you know, that I think some commenters have indicated that, you know, this could come back to bite you if you promise results. And then curious about, you know, how you would do that or how you would pose that. So another coach here says, so like other coaches already have said, how can you make promises and claims over something you have no control or responsibility for? In this coachy equation, you are responsible for your part to do your best. You can do whatever is needed or best for the coachee, but it is the client's responsibility to fulfill their part. It's my deepest desire to help my clients, but I can't do the work for them. What do you think about that? Yeah?
The client does the work.
The client does the work, exactly.
Yeah, this is Paula, and yes, the client does the work, and I'm hearing a theme here which I agree with, which a lot of it has to do with how you set up the engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we set up the engagement well within that coaching process, we can pretty well say we can definitely enhance the likelihood that the clients will achieve the goals that they've set, but that's it. It's the partnership in the engagement of the goals that enhances the results, in my perspective. So you can't promise it up front, but you can set it up to enhance the possibility of success.
Sure. And, you know, you said something really interesting here, and I want to thank you for bringing that up. It's how we set up the engagement. So this means from the beginning point with a client, a potential client, and then how we process through, we'd like to say, the proposal process or the agreement process, or, you know, many of us have complimentary calls, or if we're working with organizations, we're going in and having meetings. And it's about how are you speaking about the coaching, okay? So I think that's a really important point, is to really be clear on how we're speaking about things. Sometimes just even the language that we're using around talking about results or how we're doing that is really important. Thanks for bringing that up. Anybody else have a comment at this point? Here's one. He said, the outcome depends primarily on the coachee and far less on the coach. Furthermore, from a legal point of view, the coach takes on an obligation of means, not one of results. One of means, but not one of results. Do you agree with that?
Yes, that's the how we do what we do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. So I think what's important is, and I know we go, this process a lot of coaches do is we go look at what others are saying, what others are doing, capturing bits and pieces sometimes of language, hopefully not taking somebody else's language, because that's unethical as well as illegal if it's copyright protected. But what's fascinating is to see what's going on out there and the very strong comments about what I help clients do. And I see that a lot on coaching websites. And I think, you know, to really take a look at the language and how you language what you do with your clients is another important piece to look at. You know, are you trending or leading down the path of actually promising results? Are you talking about results that some of your past clients have received? And I think we know many times, and it's a common marketing practice too, is I certainly know from my engagement in this, you know, this career for a while, is, you know, when we can really talk to, we'll call it the pain point of what someone's challenged with or wanting to accomplish or create and they're not getting there, what's, you know, being stuck, holding them back. As we all know, that's common pieces of the work that we do as coaches and working with our clients to move forward. You know, it's a roller coaster ride. You know, it's up, it's down, sometimes they're stuck. And those are important things, too, to be able to talk about. But at the same time, as we start to really talk about, quote, helping, quote, supporting, quote, partnering with our clients and the things that they achieve, it's really important to kind of like have that, I like to say, that little light that comes on and go, okay, I really need to look at how I'm stating what I'm doing with my clients. Okay. Any other comments or questions around that? Okay. We're going to look at a rather fiery comment here again. And you can imagine this is the same person saying this, okay? He says, I recently left a Fortune 100 company, took an early retirement in which I was responsible for external coaches, external coach selections and assignments. If I were to interview a coach for one of our executives and the coach says, I will coach the client but have no responsibility for any change the client makes and can't promise that anything I do will have an effect on the client's goal attainment, I would be quite hesitant to hire the coach. If the coach said that he or she would help the client work on agreed upon changes, which I would expect at the very least, and something I assume we would all do, then that suggests that the coach is proposing some influence on the change process and as such has to take some responsibility for the outcome. Back to the previous argument, you can't have it both ways. I can't promise to help the client, but if the client is helped by me, I take some credit for this. To me, since ethics is bantered about a good bit in this discussion, I think this is a violation of ethics and taking credit for something in which you can say, in which you say you can promise no responsibility or influence. What do you think about that comment? What comes up for you? What comes up for you around this comment?
I'm not sure I'd want to work for him.
You mean like when he was in the Fortune 100 company and you came in as a coach?
Right. I probably, if I was in the interview, I'd probably fire him before he even got there. I don't know.
Yeah. Huh. It was fascinating. You know, I was really kind of surprised at, you know, some of it I was not surprised at the coaches and how strongly they felt. But there were some very strong comments this other, you know, this other way. And so naturally, I couldn't leave this one alone in the conversation. So here's what I said back to this individual. I said that I can appreciate your thoughts around making promises, but I feel the words are being taken out of context. I don't know any coach who'd walk into a potential coaching engagement and say, I will coach the client but have no responsibility for any change the client makes and can't promise that anything I do will have an effect on the client's goal attainment. I agree. I would kick the coach out if that was their repertoire. But I would be looking for a coach who could share past accomplishments with clients and could effectively talk about their coaching process, how they handle resistant clients, and what they bring to the table as a coach. This has certainly worked well for me in the past, and I didn't need to make promises. So that was my comment back to this individual. Okay.
I'd like to share, if I could, you know, when he
sure.
was talking about this, you know, can't have it both ways, you know, in terms of a coach being able to claim that they helped, you know, a client get to a certain outcome. Okay. I guess I've found that when I've been successful with a client, I don't even have to ask for that. They're telling me how much I helped them. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it seems like, you know, if you are doing good work, it's going to come that way versus having to force fit, you know, here's what I do and what I've done. I'd rather use what clients have said to me and, you know, what was it uniquely about our relationship or what, you know, what worked best for you. I mean, I kind of do that as the final debrief, and that gets me all the information that I need, you know, to get to go forward to talk about outcomes with other people in terms of, you know, where I've been able to help people move to.
Right. You bring up a really good point around that. I mean, if we're really doing what we need to be doing and managing progress with our clients and doing that check-in even throughout, you know, checking in every few months, how are we doing, depending, of course, on the length of the engagement every few months, you know, how are we doing on your goals, you know, what's working, what's not, you know, where does more attention, focused attention need to be, if any, making sure you're on track and the client is receiving, you know, what they were looking for in coaching, if not, what needs to change. I mean, those are all things that we do as managing progress, right? Yeah. And like you said there, too, at the end, important. You know, I don't know about you all, but I certainly do on a final call with a client, a wrap-up call, we check in to see what their results were. You know, how did they do? What changed? What awareness happened? You know, what progress did they make on the goals that they came for? I certainly also share with them what I've noticed in their growth, in their change. Because let's be honest, this is about growth and change. Yes, it's about them accomplishing what they came to coaching for, but our clients always grow and change when they're doing the work, as long as they're doing the work. So, and then I think, too, one of your most important things as coaches that I really do at the end of, you know, any engagement is I ask my clients for a testimonial, and if they're willing to put their name to it, that's very powerful. Utilizing testimonials, real testimonials with real people. And, of course, we have LinkedIn today that allows, you know, your clients to go out there and certainly share, you know, recommendations and endorsements and all of that as well. So, you know, these are powerful ways to showcase, you know, the results your clients are achieving. So, yeah, thank you for that comment. That's a really good one. So I'm going to share just a few more here and see what some of your thoughts are. But there's an interesting comment that came up I'm going to share in a couple of minutes. And it brought something to my attention about something that we're doing. But before we go there, I have another interesting comment here. It's, she says, promises are like magic tricks. Nobody has a glass ball to be able to tell the future outcome of coaching. As so-and-so stated, testimonials are the best possible form of outcome, yet everyone is different, and everyone will get different results with their coaching experience. A solid coach training, lots of experience, and sharp emotional intelligence scores and good business practices will get you not only great results, but lots of coaching clients. That's a pretty strong statement, huh? Promises are magic tricks. What do you think about that? Could be.
This is Diane. That statement resonates with me. When I think of the promises, it seems slick, and it decreases the professionalism of coaching, in my view.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to being unethical.
Good point.
This is Paula, and I think the same thing is I just continue to the word promise. Mm-hmm. I react negatively to, and that's why it bothers me. I don't feel like it's ethical to say that we can promise stuff, but I just do have a reaction to the word.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, you know, and sadly there are coaches out there making promises.
Right.
I think I came across one from a coach, I think, he called himself a coach. I couldn't see, you know, any background on that. As we know, there's industry experts and sales professionals and all kinds of people calling themselves the coach, but promised in working with him for an 8-week program that you would leave, you would have three promotional radio shows that you would be on promoting your business. You would have 10 new clients in 8 weeks. What do you think about that? I don't know. Can he promise that?
Well, you know what? I'm sorry. This is Paula again. And so here's the story I have around hearing something like that, is that this person is not coaching. that they may be consulting and sharing techniques that they've learned that is really useful that the person can use. That's different from coaching.
Right. You got it. And but yet they put themselves out there as a coach.
Right.
Yeah. I know, for me, kind of like fingernails on a chalkboard. So here's a comment. Let's see. Here's one. Let's see. He says, no matter what you feel, they're at least implied or underlying promise. Otherwise, why would they come to you to work with you and pay what they pay? He says, over the course of my career, I've made promises all the time, but they're always laid out in different scenarios or if-then statements, engage in A and output B. This can be applied to negative behavior too, as in rehab work. If you continue to do A, then B will continue to happen. He says, the way to avoid overpromising is to speak in general outcomes. If you do A, things will improve. What do you think about that? You do this, this will happen. Is that still ethical?
I think that's advising.
I think so, too. I think so, too. But he starts to bring up something I found a little fascinating here. And I think this is something for us to look at. I mean, obviously, like you said, there's implied results. You know, why would somebody come and pay you what they pay a coach on a monthly basis if there wasn't some kind of, we could call it implied results? So one of the other individuals here says, I said, interesting comment around implied results, about what's implied in a coaching engagement. And then he said, implied promises is what somebody expects to get from your service. He said, I would compare this to what someone expects when they go to help to any helping professional. An actual promise occurs when you confirm or clarify a client's expectations. He says, for example, my brother's a cosmetic surgeon. Clients come in, many with preconceived notions of the outcome. Nevertheless, there is an implied promise that brings them in for the consultation, that they will look better. His responsibility is to clarify what the real outcome will be. This is a promise of sorts. He says, this is interesting. In case you believe the outcome of surgery is completely in a surgeon's hand, unlike coaching, you are mistaken. He cannot know what the real issue below the skin is and what the patient will bring with them. He also cannot control whether the follow-up post-op instructions, which can mar otherwise favorably outcome, and if the client will follow them. So implied results, what do you think about that? Are there implied results for our clients? Boy, I know how to silence the room, don't I?
Yeah, I was. You know, I don't know if this is really going to answer that question or not, but I think that clients, potential clients, they come to you because they are looking for a specific result. And what they're doing is when they talk to you, they're looking for information that can help them make a decision to move forward or to take action and to help build their confidence around getting that result.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know that it has to be that the coach is implying the result. I think it's more of the client is looking for a way to confirm that that's a direction that they want to take.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And nicely said, by the way. You know, when I think of implied results, I think the client's coming with the thinking around implied results. I mean, obviously, why would they come? They're coming and they're spending a great deal of money to work with a coach because there are results that they want. And because you as a coach, and this is something you do working with others to create whatever your specialty is, success in what areas, I think there is that. You know, they're seeing what you are doing with others and they may be wanting the same, right? So I think on the client side that, you know, that's true. Anybody else have any thoughts around this?
I think that comes back to establishing the agreement and being very clear about what coaching is, as opposed to advising, consulting,
mm-hmm.
and what we bring and what is expected. There may be implied right. result, but there's also a responsibility of the client to show up.
Right. Good point. So it's really important that we're crystal clear in our agreements. It's really important that we're crystal clear, you know, when our client shows up to work, and being crystal clear on the coaching process, what, you know, the expectations are, what the process will be, what their role will be in this, what your role will be, and what you bring to the table. These are all very important things, don't you think, to have conversations around?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Because I'll be honest, there's been a few engagements in the past, particularly in an executive realm, that are more of a performance improvement, meaning somebody's in trouble and needs help. And there's been some magical thinking on, I'd like to say, some organizations or HR departments, like, can you come in and fix it? You know, like, can you do this? And we really need you to fix this, you know. And I have to really sit down with them and explain, you know, what my process is and explain what I can do. But really, it's up to them. You know, it's up to the individual to see the light and to be open to the process and to be willing and step in and look at how they're operating and how they're getting in their own way or, you know, whatever it may be. And it's super important that we certainly talk about our, you know, how we operate and what our past, you know, what we've done with clients, but at the same time, it's important to be crystal clear in these types of engagements for sure that, you know, this is up to the client. Questions or comments on that?
Tina, I'm right in the middle of that.
Who is this, Lynn?
Yes, it is. And it's been an engagement that I've been in a conversation just to start with them since October. And I have now reiterated it about the fourth time as of last night what the parameters are and put it again in writing this morning. So I don't know how many more ways I can put it down, but...
You mean you can't do magic?
No, I can't. And I guess here's the other thing around that, and this is probably one of the things that I think complicates, especially mm-hmm. an executive assignment, mm-hmm. is that in this situation, it happens to be a CIO, mm-hmm. Is very reticent to give the feedback to the individual. And so mm-hmm. the conversation is always centered around, you know, and I've been very clear, I'm not the one who's going to give the individual the news. And we have a couple of ways we can do it. You can either mm-hmm. sit down directly and be very clear about it, or we can use a 360 process, you know, mm-hmm. which he's doing a little pushback because, of course, that means more money and more time.
Right.
And they just have, you know, walking them through the whole kind of change or the process of delivering, you know, some news that an employee may or may not be expecting. You know, I've gone through this whole discussion of how, you know, it's going to really impact trust and that, you know, the rebuilding of trust has to occur between the coach and everybody, you know, because they're going to be distrustful of everybody once they get this bad news because it's going to come out of left field. And that, you know, the engagements take longer as a result of that. So, you know, they basically put themselves in those kinds of situations, and then they do want the magic trick, you know, or the, you know, the magic wand to just fix it all.
Yep.
So, yes.
Yeah, so thank you for sharing that. You know, it really does lead me to thinking, I totally get what you're talking about, been there myself. Been there myself. And then there's this other side, too, and I don't know about you, but... I had to learn this kind of on my own, muddling through it. You know, nobody taught me about some of these things. So I'm really glad that we're talking about this today. Because what I also find in some of these executive engagements is it's really important that the company, the organizational representatives that are involved in, you know, bringing this coaching forward for this individual, that they're honest about, you know, what the outcome will be if they don't accept the coaching and move forward. I don't know if you've ever had to deal with that too, but the company doesn't want to tell the truth. And I think the truth is important for the individual to know, you know, if you're not willing to step up and make some changes here and take a look at what's happening, that, you know, guess what the outcome could be. Yeah, have you ever had that?
Right. Yeah, no, it's I don't want to go into too many details
sure,
on here, but I'd be happy to talk to you offline.
Yeah.
But you know, it is a challenge with companies. And here's the very good part of it for me, which is probably the only reason I'm still in the game with this, is that the HR person who contacted me in the first place is ICF certified and gets what's going on. And so she's been very good about helping to navigate the situation on the inside. Otherwise, I probably just would have walked away from it.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, too. Sometimes you really have to look at that and say, you know what, can I meet the needs? Can, you know, sometimes there's unrealistic expectations. That's a whole other topic, isn't it? clients as well as companies or whoever having unrealistic expectations of what can be achieved and in what time frame. That's a whole other conversation, right? Yeah. So, you know, these are all things that, you know, that we want to look at and what we can say and what we can't. And by the way, coaches have gotten in hot water before by not thinking clearly before opening their mouth and promising things or saying, yes, I can do that. So these are important things to think about. I'm going to share some of the results of this. My research that I did throughout this conversation. But before we go there, I just want to take a moment and let you all know my Staying Out of Ethical Hot Water course is coming up shortly, starting March 1st. If anybody wants to dive more deeply into this topic, one of the nice things that come along with this is actually a sample coaching agreement. Covers all of the ethical bases that I know to date in my 13 years of working with the ICF. And also, it covers some of the basic, I'll say, federal legal pieces that should be part of a business contract. So that information is there as well. But this workshop really gets you looking more deeply at yourself, which is what we do with our clients. You know, how's your thinking? How are you operating? Really being clear how, you know, you could get, you know, you could have your foot stepped on in an ethical arena and bringing awareness. We'll also dive deeply into some ethical dilemmas and work through them together and see if they would be a breach of ethics. So that's all part of this four-week workshop or course. And love to have you join me. If you're an ILCT student, you can actually register there, or you can go to my website, which is Tina Elliott. You can just put Tina Elliott in Google, coach, and my website comes up, Synergy Coaching, and you can go over to workshop and take a look there. Okay, but let's talk for just a second about... First off, what I'd like to do is I'd just like to check in with a couple of you. You know, what is your learning or any takeaway from today or thinking?
Well, this is Paula, and we are just heading into, in my organization, we are just heading into this dilemma. And so this is really, we're being asked to, we have a couple of internal coaches, and we are being asked to coach some folks who have performance issues around their departments. Mm-hmm. And so this is really helpful for me to continue to frame my thinking as we move into the discussion with the senior team around what the expectations are.
Awesome. Great. Thanks for sharing that, Paula. Anybody else?
Diane, it just really highlights the importance of communication and being very, very clear with expectations all along the coaching engagement.
Right. Thanks, Diane. So being really conscious, right, being conscious of what you're saying, being conscious of the impact. As we know, when we communicate, we think we're saying one thing and it can be interpreted another way. So even in our communications, if we've said something that we think is crystal clear, making sure that it is being interpreted correctly. So, yes, so that's important too. I mean, that's what we do. We're about communication. We're about clarifying. You know, we're about being clear. But I really think to, you know, just really have your, I like to say, ethical awareness hat on and being aware of how you're speaking about the work that you're doing and being clear about that is super important. I am going to share just a second about the interesting outcome that came out of this research for myself. What I noticed was those who were either credentialed coaches who had been formally trained, not to say that some of these other coaches had not had, quote, informal training or whatever, but I noticed that the strongest comments about not promising results came from credentialed coaches, those aligned with the professional organization, or those who'd gone through professional training. So So I like to say like ILCT or any of the coach training organizations that are accredited by the ICF. So I found that really fascinating that they had such strong thoughts, these coaches who had really been trained and really, really got about how to do this and what is, you know, how we promise or do we promise, we don't promise. And some of these other individuals I'd call either industry experts or consultants or advisors or psychologists or whatever, what they had behind their name, even though they said they were a coach, had some very different ideas. So anyway, any last-minute comments or shares before we leave today? Okay. I want to thank everyone for being here today. It's been my honor to be here. I hope to see you again. We do these calls approximately every quarter, as well as the course runs, too. So look forward to seeing you again. Take care.
Thank you, Tina.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.